shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This.
Who are you having a go at here?
Is the Midweek Rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
For BWS, go in store or online. For whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS. Triple M rocks footy.
A big suspension handed down to Peter Wright as Tom Papley says the Bombers are all bark and no bite. Four first quarter goals to Cody Waitman turn the game on its head while Jack Higgins in that pocket kicks goal of the year from Rosehead. The Eagles continue to fall, the Tigers look to have stalled, and Jez is pinging pitch invaders for holding the ball. So cast our eye over round two and preview a huge Easter weekend of footy. This is Triple M Footy's midweek rub with the 287-game St Kilda superstar Lee Montagna.
G'day, Rabsy. Yeah, only coming up to round three, and gee, there's some heavy topics to discuss. There's some teams. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Pies and Brisbane and some things going on off the field. Plenty happening.
A man nominated for Mark of the Year and Goal of the Year in the same match, Daisy Thomas.
Yes, thank you, Rabsy. I was bums on seats, there's no doubt about that. And I love the fact that the Pies could be 0-4 after round three. The mass doesn't add
no,
up to
it
me.
Doesn't. And afl.com.au's head honcho Damien Barrett.
Hello, boys. There's a lot to get through today. We've only got a certain amount of time to do it. And a lot of it's not necessarily favourable to the code. But I believe... And I need to get straight to you now, Daisy, because I believe that you are going to produce a bigger bombshell than the ones we already had labelled to talk about.
A massive exclusive, and this is a feel-good exclusive as well. So you'll remember not too long ago I went to Nil as part of the Carlton draft. I went up there, and yesterday I got a phone call to come in to the TLA offices as they presented me with this beautiful plaque thanking me for all my services. I got split open. That's how hard I tried. We didn't kick a goal in the last quarter. As you can see, this is not the point. As the unofficial leader of the Carlton draft, Jonathan Brown, he's their man. He's
the big
chief.
These are the retired greats.
These
maybe greats in inverted commas.
Retired greats.
Retired greats going
Nathan
back
Buckley
to community
year,
footy.
There's just people everywhere. It's a great campaign. And I can announce, and with great pleasure, say to my good mate across the desk, Lee Montagna, you have been accepted this year one of the retired superstars to be a part of the Carlton draft alongside Matty Lloyd, Isaac Smith. I'm pretty sure that's Dill Buckley.
Yes.
But well done, mate.
Thank you, Daisy. Yeah, my number's finally been called. I've been waiting for a number of years. I was down the pecking order, and finally they've worked their way down the list. They started at the big dogs.
No,
and
don't
a few more,
that.
And I'm now getting a game. So, as Michael Jordan would say, I'm back.
Just giving back to the community.
Joey,
no personal
just giving
reasons
back to the
to
community.
Do it.
Giving back to the community, doing it for Carlton Draft. I know, too. Also, when I was asked, I did think, you know, it gives us some fodder. Midweek rub, Sunday rub.
Selfless.
You know, and then I've got to compete with my fellow Sunday rubbers. Like Daisy's done the jungle and he's boxing and Nath Brown's doing boxing and all this sort of stuff. So I thought it's my time to put myself out there and cop some ridicule. So here it comes.
Now, Daisy, from memory, you invested fully into this. You prepared for it. You gave the club in question your time before match, post-match. Others, i.e. Kane Corns, I believe, deliberately himself to the wrong ground, which meant that he then had to find the right ground and got there about a minute before the game started and left almost as it finished. I think that's what happened.
Preparation probably loosely.
What are you going to be like?
Loosely, if you look at that picture, I'll give you one bit of advice, Joey. Don't go too long sleeves and then a normal jumper over the top because
you get hot.
We're a touch
and
rounder,
a bit puffy.
And you look very puffy. But first game, first win.
Nil's first win in over 1,000 days, Daisy.
I sorted that out in 2 hours. So there's the pressure. There's the expectation.
Yeah,
Bernie Vince kicked 8 goals for Maryborough last year too.
Well, Dame, I'd answer your question. I don't think my on-field performance is going to be as strong as Bernie's or Dave Mundy's. Did you play pretty well?
I just loitered. It was a shocking breeze. So I went in the guts when we had the wind and then went behind the footy when we didn't.
Yeah, I might do that. I might play in the back line, take some kick-ins, Damo. But it's going to be more about the off-field for me. I'll make sure it's worthwhile.
I reckon you'll be all in, though.
It's worthwhile for the club.
You give me the impression you're all in.
I'm not
going to
split my head open. I'll give you the tip like Daisy did.
I wasn't planning on it. I did feel tough, though, coming from the field, you know, blood. Like, I was invested. And the beauty of it is these smaller clubs who can nominate themselves, they can go on to, I'm sure, Rabs, you'll have the details in a minute, but they love it. Yeah. Like, there was grown men crying, like 80-year-old men going, you know, this is one of the best days of the town. So in terms of gratitude and feeling like you've actually contributed to something, it's one of the more satisfying things I reckon I've ever done in football.
Yeah, and I've had one experience. I did play one game. I played two games when I retired, but one for the Ararat Rats against Stawell. It was the big local rivalry on a Good Friday a few years ago, and it was their big marquee game, and I had a connection to go and play up at Ararat. And same thing, it was a great occasion, big win by 10 goals, and they were just, everyone was pumped to to be a part of it and have me there. So hopefully it's get something similar this time around.
Registrations close on Friday. So if you want Joey playing for your club, head to the Carlton Draft. That's draft.com.au and register your club and you can get Joey Montagna not only playing your game, but also doing a sporty after the match as well.
Just maybe local clubs too. Just sort of within a 50-kilometre radius of Melbourne. I don't want to go too far.
Brighton Rovers or something.
Hampton Rovers would be a good club. Where did you were Neil. How
I was Neil. It was just a nice little with traffic five and a quarter hour drive.
it was all worth it. South Australia, isn't it?
Yeah. What did I stay at? The Zero Star Resort or something. Neil Stars.
Did you bring your own pillow?
Oh, should have. And mattress and flamethrower.
A fair dinkum or Fugazi still to come, but there is a lot of news. Damo has a full book coming up next, and we'll start with the explosive allegations from Andrew Wilkie that he made in Parliament last night. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, all thanks to BWS. Go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's Refreshingly BWS.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo
for BWS. Go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's Refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
Fair dinkum or Fugazi and your round three predictions coming up. But Damo, it is time for your news and let's start with the explosive allegations from MP Andrew Wilkie that he made in Parliament last night, claiming, among other things, off-the-books testing in the AFL. Take it away.
Yeah, it's a bit to wade through. And in some people's eyes in footy, it's certainly not a new part of this illicit drugs policy story of the AFL. But to outsiders, and I think a fair bit of the public, given the feedback this morning, we need to time code this show as we do because things change. It's about 11 o'clock on this particular Wednesday. We're yet to hear from the AFL officially on it. I've spoken to them last night. I know they will release a statement today. It will, as far as I've been told, refer to it being in keeping with its illicit drugs policy. And I think anyone who's had an exposure to it, certainly from a media sense, guys, this taking players out of the random nature of the testing is not at all a surprise. I've had conversations with Andrew Demetrio initially, Gillon McLaughlin, about these issues as part of the policy. It's not a shock to me. I get and I understand why it is to others and even some retired players, even some football people who may not be completely across the information because the information does flow to the doctor only as a starting point, and it's then up to the doctor as to where that information is disseminated. So I thought we can tackle it many ways. We could debate it. Both you and I, Days, have spoken on the Marty Shigold today on Triple M for our views as well. So if people want to get a deeper take of our views, they can. But maybe to you first, Joey, today on the Midweek Grub, just as a former player, a former great of the St Kilda Footy Club, your reactions to what you read overnight.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, first of all. And it's not a surprise, you're right, because we sort of understand these things happen. But I suppose it is when it becomes public and there is stories about it, then it almost becomes this much bigger issue. And I probably felt the same about Joel Smith that had some drug issues, that it became this whole thing like Melbourne has got this big culture problem. When I'm sitting here going, there's a handful of players probably at every single club that have got some behavioural issues off the field or have to be worked on.
I reckon you can almost lock that in as part of this conversation.
Because it was Melbourne and we knew names and it was public, it was like it was a bigger deal.
Yeah,
I feel this is going to be something similar with this AFL situation because it has always probably been going on. And for the people listening, it makes sense because if a player comes to their club doctor during the week and if they've got a drug problem and they say, look, I've ingested some drugs, I'm now worried that if I play game day, I'm under the WADA code and I could be banned for 4 years. Mm. We need to do something
about
it.
I'll jump in there because the example is if you don't do what they're now being accused of doing is taking players out of the system. And I've got problems with that and I'll get to that in a moment. But the example to now raise as a counter to that is Joel Smith.
What's the option? Yeah, you get a 2-4, you're looking at 4-year ban. Yeah. So it makes sense that if a player is open enough to go and speak to his club doctor, that they then work through it and say, okay, well, we need to stop you from playing this game because it's too big of a risk for you to be banned for 4 years. I don't think there's anything bad about that because it's smart. It's actually common sense. And the whole illicit drug policy that people need to understand was sanctioned by the AFLPA because they volunteer the players to do this. It's a medical model to identify and work with players that have a drug problem. And that's exactly what these club doctors and the AFL doctor, if it gets to that level, get involved in. It's common sense from my perspective.
Look, I hear what you're saying about the medical model, and I've got my head around that. And I needed to probably take time to do that. I thought it was being abused. I still think there's an element of abuse to it. That's my opinion on this. I've covered this story since.
In what way?
In which way?
I feel that players are hiding behind the medical model of it. And I feel that there's just bad behaviour in drug taking.
To which extent, though?
I'm not talking about a massive
extent. If it gets to two strikes, though,
get to two strikes. Okay. And that's the issue. It never got to three strikes. It got to three strikes once when Travis Tuck was exposed on the third strike for the police involvement. I mean, we saw Jack Ginnivan go through it last year. We saw Bailey Smith go through last year. People in the public taking photos of the behaviour. Now, I don't have an issue with that now. I did initially, and I still feel it's part of the conversation. So Daze, when you see it, can I get your views on it? Because I'll then go back to the origins of the whole policy, which I think does need and does provide some context.
I think that the more you understand and sort of the point of view that Joey's coming from, the more you see it as, well, you know, if you are a player and you're at risk, if Joel Smith had to put his hand up and gone and see the club doctor, he would have been a laid out and would be able to play for the rest of his career. He's probably cost himself his career. Whether or not then the question then goes back to, well, if that's the case, why risk it at all? Yeah. And that's a fair enough question. But as you say, if people have got struggles or, you know, issues.
But not every drug moment, and we're probably getting too deep into this part of it, but not every drug taking element in the AFL is because of a mental health issue.
Absolutely. So therefore, if you make one bad decision and you go, oh, I really don't feel good about this, you know, a moment of weakness, then you go and tell your club doctor, you save your career. Is that justifiable, or is it the same as if you've got an ongoing problem?
Just bang out some facts here too, because it does all provide context and people do forget and are not across it as we may be in the media. There's two drugs policies, and that, again, that's obvious to these people in this conversation, but to the person in the street, they still forget, and they forget the context. The AFL, to your point, in 2005 or thereabouts, on the back of the West Coast Eagles' behaviour, and that was part of this storyline, introduced its own policy separate to the WADA-controlled policy, which is now run by Sports Integrity Australia. There's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia to test these same players who are, if you want to use the word, getting protection from the AFL system. There's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia to test those same players at that point in time, should they choose to do so.
It's only in competition.
That's correct.
Which is game day.
So during the week.
There's still a game day component to during the week.
So on game day.
Under certain legislation.
On game day, you can be tested by WADA or their underbody for performance-enhancing drugs and or illicit drugs.
Which are performance-enhancing on game day.
But any other day of the week when they rock up to test you for steroids.
On a Tuesday, they come to your house. Yeah. They don't test for illicit drugs.
No, they are purely testing for performance-enhancing.
That's not what they're there for. They're not there to test for illicit drugs. That's why the AFL policy is that
they can still test these people whenever they want on game day for the substances.
Yes.
And as they did, now again, Joel Smith can defend his case, and he will to a point. But that's how he, you say, that's how he came out.
Yeah, that's right. So where do you think it goes from here? Where does it go from here?
And is it still a little bit of sour grapes with the next president involved, a doctor? Yeah. Is there an element to that?
There's a layer.
They've been smearing it for a while.
Yeah, the Andrew Wilkie revelations in Parliament last night, and using parliamentary privilege, I mean, factor that into the conversation. There's a reason for it being done that way. I'll let others work it out. We don't have time. We'd here for an hour if I try to explain that one. But he's protected with what he says there. It is a layer to the Andrew Bartlett case. A lot of what he said has already been played out publicly with the information he did release last night. I'm keen personally to see what the AFL says officially today. I'm particularly keen to see what referencing they make to Peter Harcourt, who is was the chief medical officer at the time and was part of the Andrew Wilkie references last night, he being the person who allowed this to unfold. I think doctors at every club know this works. I mean, the doctor in question at Melbourne was
privy to it.
Doing it.
And it's important to know that this is true. The coaches and they do not know. That's when we talk about when we say the medical model for this, it's more that the doctor-patient confidentiality component. It is only the club doctor and the player that know. And they can involve the AFL doctor, which again stays between the doctor-patient privilege. So that is important to know that Melbourne wouldn't, or whichever club it is in this situation. There have been players that have been withdrawn from games.
Plenty to play out. Yeah.
And that's the other problem too. And let's move off this topic because it has got many places to go and we don't have enough time to discuss it and other matters. But where it goes now from that perspective, every time you see the word hamstring now, do you naturally go to that point? Yeah. And that's going to be unfortunate because of what's happened here.
2 metre Peter Damo has got a 4 week ban.
Yeah. So you've had Sam Powell Pepper cop a 4 week ban, Jimmy Webster cop a 4 week ban. Now, for a very different reason, Peter Wright copping a 4 week ban. Don't have a major issue with it. I feel for him because I think this incident, even 2 years ago, would not have even been spoken about, let alone looked at the way it has. Ultimately, we're in 2024. This is what's going to happen from here on in. I just hope they remain consistent on their adjudications on it.
Yeah, I mean, we all understand the goalposts have shifted. I said on the weekend that I think it was a bit harsh to get 4 weeks because you're right, only 12 months ago, this wasn't even a sanction.
The example, though, now.
And now a month. Yeah, I know. But it's a lot of football.
It is.
And we are understanding why we're doing it and what we're doing. But in a marking contest, in a collision sport, for a split second accidental contact or bracing to get 4 weeks, I just thought, we've gone a long way, in a short period of time. And whether that's going to stamp it out, I don't think it will, because these act collisions are going to continue to happen without malice, without intent, and players are going to be spending a lot of weeks on the sidelines.
Yeah, I said this morning, and again, I'll double down. We have to now, as an industry, accept blokes pulling out of contests.
Yep.
Because 4 weeks, not only from a personal point of view, but from a team point of view, when you're so important as a Peter Wright is to the Essendon Footy Club, kicking goals up forward, the coaches would say, well, I guess I'd rather you pull out of that and be available for selection next week if you think there was going to be a contest. And we will get to the point where it looks stupid. There'll be two blokes going back. They both stop. The ball bounces in the middle. And there's no contest, which is the fabric of the game, essentially, and why we all love it, because of the fair contest, the nature of it being physical. That's very quickly going to go out of the game. And
as competitive beasts as you both were, are you both comfortable with that? I certainly am, as a member of the media, that is the case. And I think there's been a backing off from the media on the scrutiny of such moments in footy already.
We're going to have to mentally adapt.
Yeah. We evolve. I mean, think about what was happening in the 70s and 80s that we all loved and loved about. Now you look back and go, oh my God, that's assault. That's jail time. So you can't. I think we continue to evolve. And I think, to add your point too, we're going to continue, I think, players to look after themselves now. And people going back with the flight of the footy have to now think about it a bit more. You think about the weekend, Harry Cunningham, what happened to Mason Wood, and even Stephen May, such a serious injury. Maybe now we need to accept a player, for the sake of one contest, might need to think about their own health and safety a bit more. Like we accept with NFL quarterbacks who slide so they don't get hit. They could have gone an extra couple of metres. It's just accepted. We might have to get to that point too.
Melbourne take on Port Adelaide, Damo. They will be without Stephen May and Jake Lever.
They'll be without May. I can't see how you can play with 3 broken ribs and a damaged vertebrae, but they've yet to officially rule him out, or at least they're 100%. Jake Lever hoping to play with a knee. Mm-hmm. Let's wait for selection. Either way, they were able to deal with it for a half of footy against a Hawthorn team on the most recent match they played without those two guys. There's a resolve to Melbourne. We just spoke about them for the wrong reasons, at least by way of the Andrew Wilkie reporting in Parliament last night. But this club, I can tell you guys, and I've spoken to people within it, has got a galvanising component to it at the moment with everything that's going on. This is even before the Wilkie situation.
They want to be bloody thick galvanised. Yeah. It's going to be steel reinforced platinum titanium, because the people are coming for them. And from the entirety of the pre-season, the off-season, and everything now that's coming with this, I fear for the back line now with Marshall, Finlayson and Dixon. They come up against this week.
Oh, you know what? If any other team, you said you're taking out your two key defenders, you're cooked. Melbourne, they can just replace them with Tom McDonald and Adam Tomlinson. Now, I know they're not May and Lever.
And Harrison Petty if they need to.
Can play
Marty
back.
Marty Hall stepped
you
up.
Can bring, yeah, Marty yeah. Hall's in. I
Blake
mean,
House.
If there's any team that can cover, it is Melbourne. Have I been bullish on them all year? I'm not jumping off. They're going to have their work cut out, Daisy, against Port Adelaide. But imagine if they beat Port away from home without those two key defenders in there.
Oh. I can't see it happening, but I like your optimism.
One more, we take a break and get to Rabsy's favourite segment, the fair dinkum of Fugazi. Essendon Edge, I love it. I just want to ask you both, would they have been better off, and I've just posed this question, it's just a question, would they have been better off acting it?
Not saying it.
And not saying it?
Yep.
And then letting us realise organically that there's an Essendon Edge? Or do they need to make a statement after what happened last year and what's happened for the best part of 20 years?
I enjoyed it. Making it vocal and letting the Swans know what's coming for them, just playing a little bit of a mind game there. But the fact that they went out and executed it, mainly fairly, they gave away 150-metre penalty, I'm pretty sure. But, you've got to do something. And I think it was Brad Scott after said, if we just turn it into an athletic contest, they're going to beat us. We had to do something. We need to be harder and tougher. And if that's the way, I want to see it going forward now for the rest of the season.
I love it, Damo, because they've made themselves accountable. It's like when you say you're going to get off alcohol or lose weight. If you say it publicly, you're then held more accountable rather than just keeping it to yourself. So they've let the football world know now this is what they stand for. If they don't do it, we can judge them on that. So I'm looking forward to seeing them against St Kilda. I think they have to bring it again and bring it all year.
5 days of footy in round three, kicking off tomorrow night with Brisbane versus Collingwood. We'll get your game predictions soon, but up next, it's Fair Dinkum or Fugazi on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
For BWS, go in-store or online. For whatever floats your boots and gets your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS. Triple M rocks footy.
Your game predictions coming up soon and Fair Dinkum or Fugazi. But we are doing this thanks to BWS, so make sure you go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots, Daisy, and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.
It certainly is. And why wouldn't you? Lager beer, craft beer, zero alcohol. Beer, bubbles, pale ale, brown ale, seltzers, whatever floats your boots, it's available at BWS Day, mate.
It is, Days. Go in store, go online, get your drinks for this week's games. And Joey, what's better than stats to go along with the game?
Well, how about this stat from the weekend, Damo? Adelaide's Ben Keys was not credited with a tackle for his rundown of the Adelaide Oval streaker on Friday night, but he did get a pressure act.
And was Jeremy Cameron credited with a holding the ball as well.
Free kick to Jeremy Cameron.
That's a refreshingly BWS stat of the week.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's
Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's a...
Daisy Thomas, whoever loses tomorrow night can kiss top four goodbye.
That's Fair Dinkum. I can't see if anybody starts zipping three in the case of the Lions or zipping four in the case of the Pies. They may be good enough to turn it around and play finals, but top four, I dare say, with the evenness of the competition and the other sides improving, will be out of reach.
Joey, I'll ask you, you're a St Kilda legend. So their win over Collingwood under Friday Night Lights for Spuds match meant a lot to the club, both on-field and off-field.
Yeah, 100%. Fair Dinkum, Rabsy, for a number of reasons, as you touched on, a big win. Now I think they can keep this as a marquee fixture, so don't underestimate the importance of a home game at the MCG, especially with a massive crowd, what that does financially for a club that are looking to pay off debt, but more importantly, some good footy, and they're heading in the right direction.
It was great to see all 18 clubs represented on the grand pre-game. Nice.
And Pete Murray was brilliant, wasn't he,
before? Brilliant.
That was a great get.
Damo, Rory Lobb could be looking for a fourth club at the end of the season.
That's actually Fair Dinkum. Yeah, if he's being overlooked in the second game of the Bulldogs season in 2024 for Sam Darcy, and Sam Darcy steps in and plays very well, I reckon it's a possibility. He's certainly had in the past a management group that likes to explore the options around him. I think he's still got the same management group, so Fair Dinkum.
And Sam Darcy was super impressive.
He was.
Very good moments. Sticking with the ruckman, Joey, Luke Jackson's form will force Fremantle to play Sean Darcy in the waffle when he returns from injury.
No, that is Fugazi, Rabsy. I'm not buying into this. This combination will be pretty scary for the competition. This Luke Jackson is a unicorn. He's actually not winning hitouts. If you have a look at the he's not winning hitouts. He's a ground-level player.
But still being dominant.
But he's dominant. But it's more about what the combination of the two can do. Take him to another level. You'll see it later in the year. It's going to be formidable. It's Fugazi. They will play very well together.
Gorn and Grundy-like?
No, not Gorn and Gundy like.
Because we had the same thoughts.
No, we didn't.
Didn't you?
Because they're neither Grundy or Gorn can do what Luke Jackson can do. Mark Blitzarv's Reece Stanley is probably more of an accurate reflection.
Maybe Gorn and Jackson.
Who's the
Gorn
unicorn?
Gorn and Jackson won a premiership.
Who's the unicorn is Blitzarv the unicorn?
Well, Jackson's now gone past Luke. Jackson's gone past Blitzarv as the new unicorn in town.
A lot of unicorns. Mm. Damo, Andrew Brayshaw should never play on the wing again.
That too is Fair Dinkum. Rabsy, you're on fire with me, the posers to me today. I couldn't believe he was on the weekend, and no coincidence when they put him back in the guts. Mm. They came back, and it happened to Angus at Melbourne, didn't he? Mm. Played out of position regularly and still impacted, but yeah, always better in the guts.
Daisy Thomas, the Gold Coast Suns failed their first real test under Dimmer.
That's Fair Dinkum. That was going to be the big one for them. They responded okay, but to give up that start to the Western Bulldogs when they'd been very good for the first fortnight, that was a failure, I believe.
Joey, you're big on this. Some players, i.e. Tom Duday, have the worst luck with injuries.
100%. Fair Dinkum. I'm not sure what it is, but obviously there is luck, but there's also probably an element of some players whose bodies just always break down, just don't get that hardened condition about them. But we've already seen it, haven't we? A lot this year. Tom Duday's another one. Sam Doherty. I feel horribly for these players that just don't get a good crack and a fair crack at having their best career possible.
Just for an update, he partially tore his anterior
ACL
cruciate
yesterday.
Ligament yesterday at training when he was on track to probably play on Thursday
night. He was going to play.
Did the press conference too, did he not?
Yeah, he did.
Daisy Thomas, Jezza last year, Jack Higgins this year. There's something about that City End MCG pocket.
Is that the Wayne Harms pocket?
Yeah, right.
No, there is. There's a vortex there. If it had been the other pocket, I would have got a car for goal of the year against the Saints.
That's right. But that was out of bounds.
That was inbounds, and it got called out of bounds. Look, I'm almost giving up with the rules of this game. We review things that if they're a point or out of bounds or touched, whatever it is, but a bloke can kick it while someone else is having a pie next to him and it's play on.
Will the chip in the footy solve all this? Is this what we're waiting?
No. And trust me on that.
Sidic and Dave are not buying it.
I might as well jump in there.
Categorically.
We're doing these stories back at the Herald Sun 20 years ago. The chip in the footy's coming into footy. It'll change everything. No, it won't.
Oh, Daisy, I didn't have this on the list, but there's too many goal reviews again on the weekend.
You can go and... Yeah, go jump if you're in the goal review panel. Just back yourself in. I understand if we want to get there, if you do it in the back half of the third quarter and the fourth quarter where it may be important. But we have umpires there for a reason. Back yourselves in. Or, this is the thing, they're going to make themselves irrelevant. We'll be just going straight to the technology.
Robots.
Or just not even a goal umpire. Just go to the review.
Yep.
So you just got to be smart. If you're a goal umpire, be a very good one. Back yourself in. Be diligent. And you'll keep your job. Otherwise, robots will take over.
And do it confidently, and there'll be no need for
exactly.
a replay.
Yes.
All right, finally, Damo, I'll play you a little bit of audio here.
Deep inside 50, Quayne with a defensive effort. Stacey Moore back there. He was well tackled. Higgins has gone for the miracle shot from the boundary line. It'll be the best goal you've ever seen. You can't do that. You cannot do what he's just done. Ridiculous.
Darce's call of Jack Higgins' goal was exceptional.
Yeah, that's fair dinkum as well. You've come to me three times, and they're all fair dinkums, and that's the best fair dinkum of the lot. That's a great call by Duke.
Great call by Darce, and you can hear him across the weekend on Triple M Footy. We're going to get your game predictions next. This is the Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy, and Damo.
I'm on fire.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy, and Damo
for BWS. Go in store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
Footy mania is officially running wild on Triple M this weekend. 5 days of footy starting off tomorrow night, Brisbane versus Collingwood at the Gabba. Daisy, you play for one of these clubs and you're going to be up there for Triple M.
I am. I've got the little suitcase out. I've got a tight shirt pressed, ready to go. and the game will be on as well, Rabsy. This should be good. Look, who would have thought this game in this predicament at the start of the season? I'm giving Collingwood an almighty chance so far so that I'm going to tip them. I know that everyone goes Brisbane at home, and for good reason, the Pies haven't won up there, I think, since 2019, which is a long time. But I'm just not succumbing to the fact that the Pies had done this early on in the season. 4 games ago, they won a grand final. I'm still on board.
Damo, would there ever have been a match of this magnitude in March ever before where we're actually talking about two genuine, they were the top two premiership favourites, now looking at like that their premiership hopes are dashed and we're still in March.
And their finals hopes are on the way out
potential
the door too.
Finals hopes.
And to Daisy's conundrum before about 4 matches being played in round three. It's round three.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Oh, look, I'm going to go for Brisbane, but it's as much to do with the home ground component. And I normally don't base my selections on the venue, but I am on this occasion for the reasons that we both don't know about both clubs. They're both started really badly. The goal streaks that Brisbane's conceding worries me. It's been 8 goals in both losses, Carlton and Fremantle. And equally, Collingwood just has not got that spark that it had last year. So Brisbane for me.
They've lost 4 games in about 40-odd at home, Brisbane. It's very hard to see them lose 2 in a row. They lost to Carlton in the opening game. And I also think the bye has come at the right time for Brisbane to regroup, get their act together. I think they're just a couple things favour them, so I'll tip Brisbane.
North Melbourne versus Carlton, the Good Friday game, which means a lot to the North Melbourne Football Club, Damo.
It does. It does. And performing well in the game also will mean a lot. Now, there's some people who felt they were okay last week against Fremantle. They could have been at one stage more than 7 goals up. They weren't. And then Luke Jackson led the comeback. I'm not as bullish about North Melbourne being able to win games that they're not expected to win, and I just cannot see them getting near Carlton.
I think they will win some games they're not expected to this year. The Carlton one's going to be a tough ask. The Blues are pretty formidable. They're pretty rock solid. They get a lot of players back from injury, I think, as well. So going to tip Carlton, but North are going to continue to play some very good football.
Yeah, I'll be tipping the Blues in a close-ish one, sort of for North standards, 30 points, 40 points there and abouts. But that day, obviously, the opportunity for everyone getting along to take some cash, donate to a great cause.
Before we move on, Damo, how impressive is Harry Sheezel?
Unbelievably.
As a young man.
Oh, yeah.
Damo did a breakfast with him.
Mm.
Very impressed.
I did. And he was the star of the show. For a 19-year-old, just to have people listening and hanging off every word he said, it's quite extraordinary. And then he held his own on the Saturday rugby.
Yeah. Fremantle versus Adelaide. Intriguing game, Joey. 2-0, the Dockers.
Yeah, it is. And Adelaide zipping two, so massive game for them. Fremantle haven't started well, but I think the Dockers should get the job done at home. They're favourites, yep.
I'm worried about the Crows. I wanted them to spike like they felt they were going to, but I just don't see it this year. And equally, I like what the Dockers have done to start their season in a grinding way in both the wins that they've got, but they won't want to be losing this one, so Dockers for me.
Daisy Thomas is the Oracle.
Adelaide will beat Fremantle in an upset.
Oh, there it is. On record.
Oh, what does that mean?
That'll do. On record.
Is that it? Nothing else?
Out of body experience.
Sorry, right. All right, moving on. Essendon versus St Kilda, Joey.
Okay, I'll stick with the Saints. Head and heart, both say St Kilda.
Saints.
Same. Port Adelaide versus Melbourne. Another intriguing game, Damo.
I'm going to stick with Melbourne. I know the doubts we just discussed and thrashed out, the problems they've got down back. I like what they're about, as in internally. They've got a lot to deal with off field, but internally and match day wise, they are just steeled this year. And I reckon they've set themselves for this game to just prove to the rest of the footy world, doesn't matter who we're going to take out there amongst our 23, just watch us. So, Demons.
I'm chips in on Port, not just this game, but all season. I've been waiting for a while for this. I think they've shored up the back line with the recruits they've got over the summer. The midfield's awesome. Butter Rosie, Willem Drew playing an important role. You've got Ollie Wines, a maturing Brownlow medalist. The forward line, as we touched on, Marshall, Finlayson, Dixon, Zerk Thatcher, Radagalia, I think this is Port's time.
I'm with Damo. My roughie is going to be Melbourne. I just think back's against the wall, everything, the world against them, travelling. I think they're spending 8 or 9 days in Adelaide for the week. I think they'll galvanise and they'll cause an upset.
I'll make them my roughie for this conversation too, Rabsy.
That's how bad things are going at Melbourne. They're happy to go to Adelaide for 9 days. Can we say that officially?
We're all going to Adelaide next week.
We're over there next week.
Oh, yeah. Do we have to be nice to them? I love Adelaide.
You're boxing over there.
Yeah. It's
have you seen our city at the moment?
Yes.
Sorry.
Debate for another day.
What happened then? The Oracle went and then you've had your moment too.
Well, this city's not what it once was, but don't get me started.
No, that's a different podcast.
Hey, Daisy, the Battle of the West, Western Bulldogs versus West Coast, your boy Cody Waitman with 5 goals last week.
Yes, taught him everything he knows. I just struggle to see West Coast being...
6 goals.
Six, yes. Mm. Struggle to see West Coast being anything but competitive throughout the season. So until they win one, which I'm not sure they will, I'll be going with the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, doggies.
Same reasons, yeah.
Richmond versus Sydney at the MCG on Sunday.
I've liked Richmond's competitiveness the last couple of weeks. They've shown a bit, but they probably have shown too that they're a fair way off the pace. So I can't see them beating a red-hot Swans at the moment.
No, I can't either. If the Swans are even at 75% full power, I think it'll be an easy win.
I concur.
Gold Coast and the Giants have the bye. So the final game is the Easter Monday clash, traditional. Hawthorn versus Geelong, Joey.
Yeah, my certainty. Cats win comfortably here. Think they get the job done. Big night for probably either Hawkins or Cameron or both. Or
Henry.
Or Henry, yeah. Maybe he might be due to bob up with a big bag.
He used to for a bag, isn't he? Yes. Yeah, and they've got options down there. And they're so selfless, aren't they, the way they structure up. So, yeah, Geelong easily. And we need a certainty, don't we? So we'll make it. Geelong.
I think the Hawks can be competitive. Their second halves are the issue. They gave up 10 goals 2 against Essendon, 8 goals 4 on the weekend against the D's. So they're there, but then they just fall away. I'm with you. Cats are the certainty of the weekend.
Well, you can catch every game live on Triple M and the Listener app starting tomorrow night with Brisbane versus Collingwood from the Gabba with the all-new Thursday Rub pregame show with Barry Denner, Kate McCarthy, Daisy Thomas and Jay Clark from 6 p.m. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Dave.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.
For BWS, go in store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.